A Big Gift for Small Libraries. I'm Suzanne Perez, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCown Gordon Construction and listeners like you.
Coming up, how a lone Kansas cottonwood has become a folk legend.
When we go by the lucky tree outside of Mays, we honk four times and everyone lifts their feet off the floorboard.
But first, for a time, more than 60 libraries in Kansas carried the name of one man, Andrew Carnegie. The Scottish-American industrialist spent his final years funding library projects across the country. When he died in 1919, the connection with Carnegie's foundation largely ended. That is, until earlier this year, when the Kansas libraries bearing Carnegie's name learned of a new gift. Meg Britton Mellish has more.
In January 1914, Carnegie visited the New York studio of Thomas Edison. He read these words from his article, The Gospel of Wealth. In bestowing charity, the main consideration should be to help those who help themselves.
To help those who help themselves.
1,300 miles away, builders in Peabody, Kansas, were putting Carnegie's mantra to practice by building a library. The Peabody Township Carnegie Library was one of nearly 1,700 libraries built on Carnegie's dime across the United States. From 1886 to 1919, Carnegie's corporation spent the equivalent of $750 million supporting library building. For most communities, the relationship ended with the first grant. The library program was not supposed to be a handout. Funding was only given to communities that agreed to provide the land and taxes to cover the cost of maintenance, materials, and staff salaries going forward. Not every community that built a library could keep it up. Only 22 of the Kansas libraries still remain.
Welcome to Peabody Township Library.
Peabody librarian Roger Charles has been with the township library since 2011. During a recent tour, he said the realities of modern expenses had nearly caught up with the building.
First year I was here, December came, we didn't know if we were going to have enough money to meet payroll in January.
Losing the library would have caused ripples that Charles does not want to consider. The building's basement hosts town meetings, bridal showers, book launches, and on one occasion, a funeral. The collection holds important genealogy records, newspaper archives, and oral histories. And the same chairs that have sat watch over 100 years worth of children's story times.
Oh, I think I finished this one. No, I did not at all.
Charles says the library is a haven for adults as well.
I have individuals in town that don't have a car. They don't have internet. They may not have electricity. The only way they have connectivity outside the city limits of Peabody is to come up to the library and use our Wi-Fi. It's their only connection to the outside world.
Tax increases over the last 15 years brought the library's budget from about $20,000 to $108,000. And then in October, the Carnegie Corporation of New York made a surprise announcement. Remaining Carnegie libraries would receive a $10,000 gift in honor of the nation's 250th birthday. There's a list of things the money could be used for in Peabody. A charging gazebo to protect Wi-Fi users from the elements, updated appliances for the kitchen that residents use during community events, or a stained glass window depicting Peabody's history.
Of course, we have to have one with the library on it.
Charles says that decision will be made by the library board soon. But for now,
we're alive, we're healthy, we're growing, we're doing exactly what Andrew Carnegie wanted us to be.
For The Range, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
For more on this story, go to KMUW.org. Kansas has plenty of trees, cottonwoods and elms, Osage orange and ash. But as Becky Tanner explains in this encore segment of Hidden Kansas, we have only one lucky tree.
There is a tradition among many travelers on Highway K-96 between the Bentley and Mays Road exits. Honk as you go by the lucky tree. Just ask Kathleen Foster, who recently retired after a long career at Hutchinson High School.
I had the privilege of working there when there was an outstanding football season and basketball season, as well as debate and other activities. And the students that I work with taught me that when we go by the lucky tree outside of Mays, we honk 4 times and everyone lifts their feet off the floorboard.
The Lucky Tree is a massive cottonwood that's nearly 150 years old. Its leaves tremble in the spring and autumn breezes, and its branches sway during summer storms. It's between mile marker 276 and 275.8 on the west side of the road. When that section of K96 was widened in the 1990s from 2 lanes to 4, the road was designed to preserve the tree. You've undoubtedly passed it if you've ever traveled K96. But did you honk? Unlike most cottonwoods, the Lucky Tree has its own Facebook page with more than 5,800 followers. According to the page, it's been called the Lucky Tree, the Good Luck Tree, Honking Tree, and the Memory Tree. Here's Foster again.
Hutch High has many, many traditions, and the Lucky Tree is one of them. It brought us great luck and state championships.
Each person who travels the highway and gives a nod to the Lucky Tree has their own personal style of honking. Those who honk once, those who honk multiple times, some honk and do a backward wave, many more simply drive by.
We honked 4 times. I was a van driver many times for these students, particularly for the Scholars Bowl and math relays. We honked 4 times, dut, 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 and everyone lifted their feet off and cheered. It was very methodical and very much a tradition.
But if she's in her personal vehicle, Foster says she has another honking style that takes over.
I honk 1 time and I do not lift my feet off the gas pedal.
For The Range, I'm Becky Tanner.
Hidden Kansas explores intriguing spots across our state. You can read more about the Lucky Tree at kmuw.org. And one last thing. Today is Black Friday, one of the busiest shopping days of the year. Recent surveys show that consumers plan to spend less on gifts this year because of worries about the economy. Maybe you're among them. I know I am. If you're looking for a way to cut down on the commercialization of the season, I have a suggestion, and it's 4 simple words. Want, need, wear, and read. When my kids were little, we instituted this handy rule to limit the number of gifts under the tree. Each child got 4 gifts, something they want, something they need, something to wear, and something to read. Your interpretation could be extravagant or simple. Something they need could be a new laptop for school or a new water bottle. Something to wear could be new PJs or a prom dress. Either way, the tradition sparks healthy conversations about wants versus needs and gets everyone thinking about simplifying what can be a chaotic and expensive season. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Luann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Suzanne Perez, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.